Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, and excited to bring you our Voices interview for the month of April. When this episode drops, it'll be just a few days from Easter, actually Good Friday. And I know our show has listeners of all different faith backgrounds, but regardless of your religious views or lack thereof, I think Easter's symbolism of redemption and renewal is something we can all connect to, especially this time of year. And today's guest, Sarah Jakes Roberts, has an amazing story of renewal that really started with recognizing her own worth. Sarah is an author, pastor, and mom of 6, and her journey to motherhood began at the age of 13. Sarah was a pastor's kid, and not just any pastor's kid, but the daughter of an influential bishop at a megachurch. So you can imagine how all that went down, right? Well, if you've been listening to the Mom Hour for a while, you'll know that I became a mom pretty young myself, and I remember all those feelings of not only having my life pretty much upended by this huge, unexpected, life-changing event, but also having that evidence of my not, you know, following the rules literally attached to my body, first as a big pregnant belly, and then later as a baby in a carrier, and so on and so on. And there can be a lot of mixed feelings that go along with pregnancy at any age, but I think that for really young moms, it's really harsh because no matter how much you might enjoy motherhood and even be good at it, there's this sense that you really shouldn't expect too much from your life from now on. And if I was feeling that at 19, I can only imagine how intensely Sarah was feeling it at 13, especially under the microscope of her family's visibility. Her 5th book, Woman Evolve, will launch on April 6th, and it's a look at the potential of womanhood through the story of Eve, who, we're joking in the interview, could really use a rebrand. I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Sarah Jakes Roberts, and just a reminder that you can find links to her books, including Woman Evolve, in the show notes for today's episode at themomhour.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be right back with my interview with Sarah Jakes Roberts. Okay, Sarah, so after I thought back about our most recent Week of Real Life Dinner episode, I thought, wow, it's really time for me to get back into prep dish again because my menus really could use some inspiration.
Oh, I know what you mean. Every time I use prep dish, I'm so happy about the way it injects new flavors and ideas into our meals. And prepping a whole week's worth of meals at once is such a smart way to simplify getting dinner on the table the rest of the week.
If you're still thinking about giving prep dish a try, I know it might sound a little intimidating to do all that prep at once. So we're really excited to share that Allison at prep dish has now created a new option, super fast meal plans. So the super fast option works the same as the other prep dish options, where you get an email every week with a menu and a shopping list, and then you prep once for the whole week ahead. But with this option, you can do all that prep in under an hour for the whole week's worth of meals.
Yeah, these new super fast menus from prep dish are a game changer, especially if you're in a season of life where that 1 hour may be all the prep time you get. And you don't have to choose your meal plan when you sign up. Your subscription means you'll get 4 different menus every week. So you might choose to do the paleo one this week and the super fast one next week. You can go back and forth.
To get 2 weeks of prep dish meal plans free, go to prepdish.com/themomhour. Again, that's prepdish.com/themomhour for your first 2 weeks free. Sarah, I am fully in my transitional footwear season right now, and it is like a Vionic extravaganza over here. So in the morning when it's still chilly, I usually slip on my lowest booties to do school drop off. But then by the afternoon, if I'm heading out of the house or just want to feel pulled together, it's usually warm enough for me to put on my Willa slip-on flats. So it occurred to me that what I really need now is some of the Vionic sneakers like you have, so I can wear those kind of right in the middle of the day when I'm walking the dog.
Oh my gosh, that's what you need. You should totally do that. Those sneakers have been a game changer to me. I have both the Nana Retro style sneaker and the Malibu slip-on. And right now, that's like my main footwear option every day.
Yeah, we are diehard Vionic fans here at the Mom Hour. These shoes are perfect for busy moms who want to look cute, but need footwear that's supportive and functional as well. Each Vionic shoe or boot features a footbed with deep heel cup for stability, fantastic arch support, and ball of foot cushioning. They really do feel amazing on my feet all day, no matter which pair I'm currently sporting.
If you want to see what we've been raving about, head to VionicShoes.com and use the code TheMomHour for free shipping all year long. Again, it's VionicShoes, V-I-O-N-I-C, Shoes.com, and the code is TheMomHour.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on the Mom Hour.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We were just chatting before we started recording about the fact that our kids' ages line up very similarly. But you're quite a bit younger than me, I think. And I started pretty young. So you must have started really, really young. And I know that's a big part of your story. So do you want to just tell us kind of your journey from starting off as a teen mom to just blending your family, starting your business, becoming a pastor, in just kind of like a succinct as you can? Give me that nutshell story of your journey.
Sure. So I got pregnant at 13. I had my son at 14 years old. And I spent the next few years after that trying to recover from the teen pregnancy, at least I thought. And it wasn't until I realized that what really needed an opportunity to recover was my heart, my soul, my idea of self. And when I began to focus inwardly instead of trying to build a life externally that people would be proud of, I really began to see my life change from the inside out. And now I just create opportunities, spaces, books, events, podcasts for women to kind of do the same.
Wow. Okay. That is really young. And I know that there is so much, you know, we have some listeners who are relatively young moms, and I was a relatively young mom, but there is, there can be a lot of shame around that. And then like a lot of feeling like you have to meet other people's expectations, make up for, you know, your quote unquote mistake, all of those things. And I love that you reframed that into something that was an internal journey for you. But at the same time, you're dealing with really real life issues, right? Like having to pay your bills and having to raise your kids and having to still grow up yourself. So how did that all play out when your kids were really little?
Man, you know, it was quite a journey. I did so many different odd jobs and finally landed something that had opportunity for growth as a receptionist. And although things were moving in a great direction on the career path side, you know, I finally had some stability. There was still, like I said, this inside part of me that I couldn't quite figure out why I didn't feel like I had recovered or that I had finally had this redemptive moment. And I'm still, you know, raising a child at the same time. And I think that's what so many of us can relate to is the duality. I'm supposed to have it all together because of my age or degree or wherever I am in life. And yet I'm still working on parts of myself. And so, you know, my son in his patience with me was remarkable. He was not I think my 11-year-old is just making sure that I really pay for all of those things. But he was so patient and kind and such an easy child to raise that it gave me room to kind of focus on building a life for us. And so I'm really thankful for that.
Wow. That is like, sometimes you get just what you need when you need it. And I think that like, so many can relate to this idea that you did get a good, stable job. Everything was kind of moving in this direction that seemed really positive. But sometimes it's like, it can feel like then, though, this is all I can achieve. Or like this, I should be lucky that I got this far and I should just settle in. But obviously, you knew that there was something bigger for you or something broader and you could reach more people. So when did those stirrings start to happen?
You know, I don't know that I felt like I knew that there was something bigger. I don't want to give myself that much credit. I really felt like I stumbled into purpose. There are a lot of people, and I think that that's something that, you know, is worthy of a conversation within itself, is a lot of times we think that like purpose is something that we just wake up in the morning and then we discover it. But I really stumbled into it doing a similar job to what I am doing now. I was helping someone else build an organization that was meant to help women recover from some of the setbacks in their life. And once again, purely administrative. I wasn't speaking. I wasn't empowering them. I was just kind of behind the scenes. But there was something about seeing another woman evolve and take ownership of her life, and not just the pretty parts, but the parts that are hard to digest, and to stand up and build a life with those things. And so I went from doing that administratively to daring and challenging myself to not just serve what someone else was doing, but to serve my own journey and my own growth. And the more that I did that, I started blogging. People would invite me to speak. And so it became something that I realized that people were hungry for. Women needed reassurance. They needed sisterhood and connection so that they could grow And I decided to become more intentional about creating those spaces and opportunity for connection development, and then ultimately evolving into the highest, fullest, most confident version of ourselves.
Wow. Yeah. And I love what you said, that like purpose isn't something you just stumble upon or something you can like go out looking for and find it in a pot of gold under the rainbow or something, right? It's like it evolves. It comes from action and the things that we're doing, and it's like revealed to you. That's really cool that that's how that happened. So you're getting invited to speak. Those things are starting to happen. And then what?
Okay. So what I noticed about the places that I was speaking is that like people were coming, they wanted me to share my story just about having my son at an early age and how I came to a place of, you know, healing through the scars and shame and all of those feelings that come when you've experienced something that changes the way that you see yourself. But then I realized that I could be one of those people who just gets invited to speak and they go, or I could take notice of what was happening. Because at that same time, my social media was growing exponentially. Like it was just crazy growth. And I realized that there were moments where I was speaking to people, but I wasn't always speaking to the people who followed me. And so I decided to kind of take a leap of faith, really, and create an environment where those people who aren't in some of those spaces, because I'm speaking everywhere from corporations to churches, but there were these people who were following me like I wasn't in their city, or they didn't go to this particular space. They didn't feel safe there. And so I said, well, let me create an opportunity for them to come out. I didn't know if they were going to come or not, you know, but we did this tour and the tour sold out in like the first week that the tickets were on sale. And I think that that's when I realized that I didn't want to just wait for someone to tell me when I could speak or tell me when I could show up, that I wanted to create opportunity for my vision and my purpose to be manifested in an environment where women could connect to my story in particular.
Wow. And what kind of, I know you said that like people were finding you and you sold this event out, and where were these women? They were finding you via social media, they were finding you on your blog, but where were they in their journey? Or what did they relate to in your journey?
Oh, goodness. So many of them had basically lost faith. And I think that them losing faith was compounded by places and spaces of faith devaluing their journey, or thinking that because of this one thing that happened to you or these two things that happened to you, that you're no longer eligible for this purposeful life.
Yeah.
And so I very much so found women who were like me, and that we didn't really know where we fit in traditional, maybe religious spaces, but still wanted to believe. Because sometimes you just want to believe. You don't fully have belief. I just want to
believe.
You just
want it, yes.
I just want to. And I found those women who wanted to believe. And we took that want and changed it into action. And now they believe in themselves, in the world, in faith again. And that's what I live to do, is to awaken someone to the reality that there's still hope. There's still an opportunity. There's still a chance.
So this will be airing just on Good Friday. So a couple days before Easter, and your story, you know, moves into you ending up becoming a pastor, and you've written several, books that are faith-based. And I know we've got a variety of listeners of all different faith backgrounds, but I just think that this is such a great, like, redemption story, a rebirth story. It fits so well into this time of year. And I would love to dig into that a little bit, because I love what you said about sometimes you just want to believe, and you can't force yourself. Like, belief is belief for a reason. Faith is faith because it can't be proven, right? So talk a little bit about that and how that has looked for you. And you said you didn't fit into the traditional religious spaces. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, having my son at 14 kind of just immediately put this, like, a lot of people do things when they're younger,
yeah,
but they're not walking around with evidence that it occurred.
Yep. Yep. You know? That's like literally using up their bank account. Yeah. I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So this is walking evidence that I broke the rules, that I wasn't a quote unquote good girl. You know, there's such this, you know, idolization of like purity and virginity, especially in, you know, at least in my faith as a Christian. And so at the point that I didn't have any of those things, And then like, I'm a black girl in church. Like, you got to be able to sing. You need to be able to dance. I don't know that I have the best rhythm. So there were like many different things.
So many strikes against you.
So many strikes. They're like, you know what? You can go sit in the corner. That's where you can go and sit. And so me and
you
my
can work in the nursery.
Exactly. Take you and your child. Yeah. Go work in children's church.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I didn't really feel like I fit. Like, I had a space there. And I ended up moving anyway, because I wanted, what keeps us from wanting to believe, especially when we've had so many people basically tell us, maybe you're not worthy, or you don't have value, or you feel those feelings yourself. I think that what keeps us from wanting to believe is the fear that if I believe, or and if I mess up, or if it doesn't go the way that I want to, I don't think I can handle another devastation.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to not want anything at all, to go through life numb, to go through life like I don't need anything or need anyone, than to risk the vulnerability that comes with wanting to experience joy and peace and fulfillment. And so a lot of what I do, I feel, is to bring women to a space of connection with that version of yourself, because she's not dead. Sometimes we think she's dead, but there is this hunger that existed, whether we were little girls running around in the grass or in college with optimism. There was a version of us that believed, it was instilled in us. And if I can reconnect us to that version, then I believe that we can guide that person through the wounds and wisdom of our womanhood. We can guide that little girl version of us to a place of adulthood where she recognizes how to believe and how to recover. And that it's all a part of this beautiful thing called life.
Wow. Yeah. That really resonates, the whole idea that you don't expect anything anymore, because it's just easier not to, and then you won't be disappointed. That's just like, I think a lot of people can identify with that, especially women. So, you know, you are this great example of someone who found, you kept on keeping on with your faith, even though you didn't fit the mold, we could put it that way. Or maybe you rediscovered faith, even though it had been kind of something that was, you know, it just seemed off limits to you because of your background. And like you said, that evidence that's you're walking, literally holding your hand, walking around next to you. How do you bring that forward now into the work you do, not just with the women that you work with through your ministry, but also you're a pastor of a church. So like, how do you bring that into your work as a pastor?
Well, what I have found, and I actually talk about this a little bit in Woman Evolve, is that for me, you know, my pregnancy, my, you know, having sex at that age, like that was forbidden fruit, right? Mm-hmm. But the forbidden fruit is not it's not how things begin. That's the end result. How things begin is more like, I didn't feel like I fit. I felt isolated. I wanted someone to love me. I wanted someone to value me. And those core feelings, that dysfunction, that inadequacy that I felt played out in me having a teen pregnancy, but for other people, it plays out in them becoming workaholics or alcoholics. And as I pastor people, I stay connected to the root, not the fruit, right? Because the root of what it means to be a human on a journey means that there are moments where we have leads. And so I see that whether I am speaking to a room with men and women, or just women, or predominantly men, that at the end of the day, we're all trying to navigate these snares of life. And my goal is to get us to acknowledge them so that they can be healed, and so that we can build a life that protects us from ourselves. Because if we don't if we don't notice these things, then they show up in our life anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you, Sarah. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive more into Woman Evolve, and then also talk about how we can really care for ourselves as women.
We are welcoming back our sponsor, Kids Short Stories, today. We chatted about this podcast for kids a couple of weeks ago, and you all are loving it already. Kids Short Stories is a daily audio adventure for kids created by a dad who used to travel a lot for business and wanted a way to continue his nightly bedtime story ritual with his boys. He used to make up stories based on their like crazy kid ideas. And then when he was on the road, he recorded himself so they could listen at home. And the rest is kind of history.
I love the origins of this podcast. Episodes of Kids Short Stories are each around 10 to 12 minutes, perfect for a car ride or as a way to connect and wind down while you're getting everyone into pajamas at night. Thousands of families all over the world are subscribing to Kids Short Stories and letting Mr. Jim entertain their kids.
Yeah, Kids Short Stories is now a top 10 kids podcast on Spotify, and it's really taking off. Kids love submitting their story ideas to Mr. Jim through the website kidsshortstories.org and then hearing their ideas get turned into incredible adventures. I know so many moms in our community are on the hunt for great free audio content for the kids, so we're excited to be able to recommend this show.
Find Kids Short Stories wherever you get your podcasts, and if your kids want to submit an idea for a story, visit kidsshortstories.org. Again, it's the Kids Short Stories podcast, available wherever you like to listen, or at kidsshortstories.org. We are welcoming back Hiya Health as a sponsor today. Hiya makes a chewable children's multivitamin that helps ensure your kids are getting the nutrients they need, even if they aren't so great about eating their veggies.
Right, because it turns out that like 90% of kids don't eat as many fruits and veggies as experts recommend. And in my house, that's actually more like 100%. So with a daily Hiya chewable, you can make sure your kids are getting what they need to support a healthy immune system, energy level, brain function, mood, teeth, bones, and more, all without the added sugar and gummy junk that children's chewables have a reputation for.
Hiya Kids vitamins are pediatrician approved and made from a blend of 12 farm-fresh fruits and vegetables, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free, and they're manufactured right here in the USA. Sarah, our listeners are really loving this brand.
They really are, and I am loving this deal from Hiya, too. Check it out. You're going to get 50% off your first order, 50. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour or enter the code momhour at checkout. That's hiyahealth.com/momhour or use the code momhour and you'll see the full discount applied at checkout.
Okay, back to my interview with author and mom of six, Sarah Jakes Roberts. Okay, so you mentioned Woman Evolve, and that is the name of your new book, which will come out, wow, like when this drops on April 2nd will be what, 4 days from your book launching, right? Away. And this is book number 3 or 4 for you, correct? Or more than that?
This is book number 5.
5, wow. Okay, so you've been through this rigmarole a few times. But Woman Evolve is also the name of your ministry and the mentoring and coaching that you do for women. Is that correct? So that that idea has been around for a while. I love that sort of what I'm reading about about the book is that you're tying this to the story of Eve. And Eve needed kind of a rebrand in a way. The ultimate rebrand.
Needed a rebrand. Yes,
she
did.
So tell us about the book and how you've tied that into your story, how you tied your story and the story of women that you see around you to the Eve story.
You know, as a girl, even though I was far away from faith and I had my moments in college where I did not have any faith at all, there was one thing that I would always say, and that's like, when I get to heaven, I'm pulling Eve to the side and I'm gonna be like, girl, you have one job. Like, right. You messed it up for all of us because you could not do your one job. Now I have 18 jobs because you can do your one job. I had like this full dissertation in my mind of what I would say to Eve. And then like, I had this feeling, this like check in my spirit, which was like, how are you going to be out here empowering women and planning your revenge on someone when you get to heaven? And so I was like, okay, let's dig into this. And I started reading just the story of creation. And I accompanied the story of creation in the Christian faith, like in Genesis, I accompanied that story with the reality that so much of how we've seen women treated in the world politically, when we see them corporately, has to do with this perception of Eve, this idea of a woman's place and her value and whether or not she's able to do what men can do comes down to this moment in the garden. And so I saw all of this, every woman, every woman's plight, every woman's issue, every woman's fight, starting with this moment in the garden. And so I started studying what happened when she ate from that fruit. And there's so many things in there. But she says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And that word deceived means seduction. So there was like this slow seduction of her mind. And then she ate from the fruit. And that's when I got it. That's like when everything clicked for me, because I had been penalizing myself for eating from the fruit, but I didn't really do the work to see when my mind began to change. When our mind changes, we start settling for toxic relationships. When our mind changes, we don't go for the promotion. Our mind changes, and then it changes our diet, right? It changes the way we show up in the world. And so all of a sudden, I thought, man, if I could rescue Eve, I think that I could rescue every woman, because Eve knew better but didn't do better. And I can certainly relate to knowing better but not doing better. But outside of just that moment when she ate from the tree, I also went back to like her original purpose in Genesis 1, like when God created male and female, he said, I gave them dominion, be fruitful and multiply, subdue, which means like this was a powerful woman in leadership. And this one thing sucked all of her power out. What if I could get other women to see that the power is still available to us? We just have to do the work, which I saw Eve doing throughout scripture when I continued the story. And so that just kind of created this passion. Evolve is like my ode to Eve, because she evolved from that moment, and we're all better because of it.
Mm. So how do you see that story playing out now with women who maybe don't think they can, they have the chops to, you know, lead in the business world, or aren't sure they're worthy of the relationship, or don't speak up for themselves? Like, do you see that, you know, instead of looking at it as like, you know, Eve brought this sin upon us, is it more like the lessons we can learn from that story?
For sure. Well, I think it goes back to like the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so I think women, and I talk through this in the book, is like understanding where the deception is, like where's the deception? What are you believing about yourself that keeps you from believing that you have worth, that keeps you from walking away from a toxic relationship? Like, let's pinpoint this lie, because a lot of times we just say, I just don't feel like it, but let's actually do the work. Why don't we feel like it? And then let's go further. When was the first time that you felt unworthy? When was the first time that you felt like you didn't have value? And a lot of times we see that our adult responses has a lot to do with, you know, childhood trauma, and that our trauma is making decisions about our destiny. And yet, if we continue to allow that to happen, then we can't be fulfilled. If fear is in control, if trauma is in control, then how can we ever live in the fullness of our faith and our identity and our belief and confidence? And so we kind of deconstruct, we take our steps backwards to see where things got off track. And then we move forward from that point forward, creating this vision of what we know our life is supposed to look like if faith was in charge and living from that truth. Mm.
One of the things I know that you talk about in the book and in your ministry as well is the difference between self-care and soul care, and the fact that you need both. I think self-care has become, well, it's become basically an industry to sell bubble bath, but, you know, like it's become this very kind of cliche idea that like if you, you know, if you go get a massage, that's self-care. And that's all great. And those are things that are very important. And it's good to take care of yourself. But soul care feels much more fundamental. So can you define the difference?
For sure. So to your point, for me, sometimes like when I say I need time for myself, people are like, oh, go get your nails done. Go get a massage. And I'm like, if I had time to get my nails done, I would rather go to sleep. Like right. That is my truth. Like, right. I don't want to go. And so I realized that what I'm really aching for has nothing to do with, oh, I need to go for a run, though exercise is important and taking care of your body is good. Your body is self-care. Your soul is how I'm able to receive communication. It's how I communicate. And so soul care is checking in with yourself. When is the last time we say, how are you these days? And we really don't want you to answer.
We don't want to
know. When is the last time? No, girl, no. Girl, please.
Yeah.
But like, when's the last time you asked yourself, how are you, and gave yourself time to respond? And we just take so many responsibilities on as women. We have so many different experiences and we're out here and sometimes we've got on our superwoman cape to get it done, but we never say, oh, I'm bleeding over here, or that actually did hurt me. And then, so what do I need to bring me peace? What does my meditation look like? What does my time away look like? And soul care, you can do with 10 minutes in the car by yourself. It doesn't require an hour of going away. It can be before you close your eyes at night or first thing in the morning to check in with your own soul, to say you matter to you. first and to live from that space. I make decisions from that place of soul care. It determines how many meetings I can take. It determines if I need to clear my schedule for the weekend. That soul care is so important.
Yeah, that's a really, I love that, because making decisions from either end of the spectrum when you're not tapped in are usually the wrong. Like if you make them at the end of the day when you're exhausted and you just want to cry, that's probably not the best time to make a decision. But maybe not also when you're like flying high on caffeine and it seems like the day, like you're superwoman and you're—
I can
you're,
do everything.
Yeah, and you're glossing over the reality that you only have so many hours and that your priorities may not allow for that thing. So I think you're right. Like when you tap in, that's when you make the best choices for yourself and by extension, your family.
Yeah. I mean, that when people are like, how do you balance it all? Like I have to figure out who I am and what I can balance today. And from that place, I'm able to make a decision that takes into account, you know, what I need emotionally. Your emotional needs are important. So are the people in your life, but you come first. And I know we hear it all the time, you first and take care of you. But I think soul care really puts that into practice and helps to give women tools on how to actually do that in their lives.
Yeah. So Sarah, you now have 6 kids. I believe you said your oldest is 24 or 25?
Mm-hmm, 24.
Okay. 24, and your youngest is 5. So along the way, you got married and then blended your family. So you've now got like a really big family. I know people think I have a big family and you've beat me. and I love it. And you're married and you're a pastor. And I believe your husband is also a pastor and you've got this whole big life going on. How does this play out in your real life? You've got a few adult kids and I know the idea is that they're off doing their own thing, but we both know as moms of adult kids, the way it actually works is that you end up still being a real emotional caretaker in a lot of ways. And then you've got a really little one who still needs day-to-day care and you're living in Southern California. So, you know, I'm going to guess your littlest isn't in school all day. So how does your life actually play out?
Okay. So I have help. That's the first thing I have to say is like, I have help and I felt guilty about it at first, but then I was like, okay, I've got to delegate. And there are some things that I'm not going to be able to scrub everyone's toilet. So I'm going to need some
right.
help keeping things clean. We're fortunate now that our 5-year-old, we actually found a teacher before the pandemic happened because we travel so much. We found a teacher to help support our 10-year-old at the time. And then when Ella, who's our 5-year-old, kind of became of age, she started schooling her as well. And so they have school right there at home. The older kids, everyone still lives at home. No one's tried to go and spread their wings yet. So, you know, how does this play out in practice? I asked my husband for a lot of help. My husband is definitely hands-on in our family.
Yeah.
So the work is divided. Like, you know, sometimes we have the good cop, bad cop. Sometimes he's helping lead the kids and then I help lead the kids. But I try to make sure that we are eating dinner, a home-cooked meal, like 4 times out of the week, which helps us to sit down and kind of talk as a family. And, you know, it depends on what day it is, how it plays out in practice. I'm at my office today and he's holding things down at home, but we try to switch and take turns.
Yeah. And I know that that can be, I mean, it's very fluid. And especially right now I love that all your kids are still at home. 4 out of 5 of mine are. And I like that. Like, it's just, It gives you that feeling, that big family feeling is really fun when there's all the mixed age, mixed ages. How do your kids all relate to each other? Do you find that like having 2 busy parents and then this big blended family, is it kind of like this all hands on deck feeling?
Well, I will tell you, so 4 of the kids work for one of my businesses.
Oh, nice. So okay. So it truly is a family affair. Yeah.
For sure. One works in the store. Another one works for our production company. 2 of them work for our production company. One of them. So yeah, the 4 oldest children all work in one of the businesses that I own, which is really great because we work together. We live together. Now I do have other people on staff as employees. So I have a buffer. So I'm not actually managing them each day, which is great because it preserves our parental relationship. Mm. And then, you know, the two youngest are, like I said, at home. So that, yeah, it's definitely allowed us to stay close without getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that that's really like, that's like a cool thing to have everyone involved in, like, a common purpose, a common goal. I think that's one of those, you know, any family would love that, but I feel like that's one of those big family things that can kind of be very special about having a lot of kids, because it's like everyone can find their place in that shared, I guess, that shared goal and that shared movement. So that's really cool. Well, tell us about the book is coming out on April 6th. Tell us a little bit more specifically about the book. We talked a little bit about the Eve story, and we talked about Women Evolve as the concept in the ministry. But if someone were to buy this book, like, what are they going to be learning about how to implement the things that we've talked about in their lives?
Yeah, it's really practical. The book is, you know, I speak and I go around and I tour, and my messages are like maybe 40 minutes at max. And yet in 40 minutes, you can't give everyone every single tool and nugget of wisdom to help them on their journey. Yeah. And so I found that the book was an opportunity for me to start with the woman who doesn't feel like changing. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm over it. To the woman who is finally open. And I kind of walk this journey with them through the book to ultimately revolutionizing their lives. That's what the book is called, Woman Evolve, Break Up With Your Fears and Revolutionize Your Life. And my hope is that when people close this book, that they will realize the revolution is closer than it appears. It requires vulnerability. Sometimes it requires some work that we've never had to do before, some therapy. But at the end of the day, it is within reach. And there is a peace in knowing that change is in reach, that confidence is in reach. When it feels like it's far off, that's hard and we give up. But knowing that it's within reach is a beautiful, beautiful piece of wisdom to have. And that's what they'll get from Woman Evolve.
I love it. Well, Sarah, where can listeners find you? I know that you're on Instagram. You've got a website. Do you have anything else coming up right now that they could kind of dig into?
You know, we've got the book. We have a podcast, which is more like hot topics, but we find a way to squeeze some wisdom into that. But Woman Evolve on the social media, I think, is the best place to kind of get plugged into the connection, the sisterhood, the constant inspiration. And then we have a book club where we're kind of like doing this work and growing together each month. So as you say, follow us on social and see if there's anything that feels like I want to be a part of that.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, and best of luck with the book launch. I know those are hairy and very busy, and you're like right in the thick of it now. So I'm hoping for you in like 2 weeks that you can take the world's longest nap.
Thank you. Me too.
You're welcome. Have a great day and happy Easter.
Thank you. You too.